video or TV shows that were basically just 30-minute toy commercials. That's all Transformers was. It's all Mask, G.I. Joe, so many of them. They were friggin', that's it. That's all they were. Nobody cared. Oh, you know what? I wonder if I screwed up again. I bet I did.
I kept thinking there's six people waiting, but are they not?
Yeah, here? I always miss that extra button. You should just go live when I hit the live button, but I don't. I forget to hit the live button. I'm so sorry, people. So we're going to have to practically start over. It's been a good month and a half since we've done a stream, and I'm a little out of practice. So, George, I'm switching this back to three cam here. So you're probably going to get some, if you're listening, make sure you mute the YouTube. So I'm sorry, guys, I screwed up again because I don't know how to work this stuff anymore. So George, take another quick, intro real quick.
So I've got to mute the thing now so that I can actually hear what's going on. Is that right?
Yeah, mute the YouTube video.
Right, okay. I see now. So now what's happening is there's like a few minute delay on the YouTube channel, which is really confusing.
Yeah, it is. That's why you got to mute it. You got to just deal with what's going on. That was a practice run. Dom is like, yeah, we've done this like I don't know how many times.
Okay. So, hello everybody, and welcome to the European edition of what was it called, live stream of the Last Movie Outpost.
We call it the Outpost Frequencies, actually.
Okay, then the Outpost Frequencies.
Yeah, because it does turn into a podcast later. A really bad one.
which will start halfway through. We have already said hello, but we have with us this evening Yoda. And Dom. And myself, not George Lucas, as you can see. Although I have the jowls going, which I'm quite pleased about. we will be talking about the scene.
You got a long ways to go to work on that, and you need a lot more flannel.
Yeah, this is true, yeah. We're going to be talking this evening about He-Man, or the Masters of the Universe Revelations, because I don't think it should be called He-Man, but we'll get to that later. Then we'll be talking about the talkback that we've been having on the site, and also the talkback that people have been doing about Masters of the Universe. And then hopefully we'll be talking about Dune, the new trailer that's just come out, which I am excited about and looks quite good. So I'm going to do this joke again. Ready? Everybody ready for their reactions?
Yes. Yep, we've rehearsed.
Yoda, you loved Masters of the Universe, didn't you?
I adored Masters of the Universe. I had my pants around my ankles the entire time.
Okay, so, yeah, big Kevin Smith fan there. Now, obviously you put the review up on the site and you watched all of it, but you weren't particularly happy with it, were you?
No, I wasn't. And I... So I'm going to try to do this because you guys already heard the story. So I'm going to try it again. Keep it, work on my brevity here. I deserve that. They came out in 83. Master of the Universe came out in 83. And even I was like 12. So I could clearly recognize the terrible animation and that sort of thing. The cheap reuse of the same, 5 seconds of animation that they would use in every show. And they would try to put together a show that just, it wasn't that good, but it was in between, Thundercats and Transformers. So I watched it. It just wasn't that much in 83. You just couldn't, you didn't have Netflix and all that other stuff. You couldn't do just whatever you wanted to do. So that's what I did. The show, but the figures came out and they, the kids that were younger than me, anybody from ages 5 to about 10, ate the figures up. They were incredibly popular. And they were so different at the time because, you used to have like, you remember the little G.I. Joe figures? They were like 2.5 inches, I think. Star Wars figures were 2.5 inches. And you come out with this He-Man figure, which looks like they took a G.I. Joe figure, stuffed helium up his ass, and inflated him to this giant, this, you know, swelled up. And don't talk to me about body positivity, women. Those guys are ripped.
But he was bigger as well, wasn't he? He was like 3 or 4 inches, you know.
He was slightly taller and bigger, but the whole figure was bigger, and it was just weird looking. Everybody loved it. So these kids, they ate it up. Now you flash forward to 2018 when Last Jedi comes out, right? And guys like me are flipping out. We are pissed off. And I got a lot of people a little bit younger than me going, look, come on, it's Star Wars, guys. It's not that big of a deal, you know? Those same people, those same age, at least according to Midnight's Edge, they are losing their shit over He-Man. It's like, how does it feel, fuckers? Welcome to the suck. They're coming after you. You know, this is what happens. And this is why I got so angry about this one. It's not because I have that much of an affinity for He-Man. It was kind of fun. It had its moment in the 80s. It was never really, I mean, the mythology was kind of interesting. I think there was something that interesting could be made there. But I just was kind of interested because, like, I remember watching He-Man as a kid. It was not, but it wasn't like Star Wars. And I watched this. I'm going, there was no He-Man in the show. They killed him off first episode. Right. So take back to what you were saying, George, is shouldn't be called He-Man, the Masters of the Universe. Well, Teela and the Mistresses of the Universe, because that's what this show was. Every man in this show is treated like garbage or thrown aside or is an asshole. And then when Adam or dies, He-Man dies at the very beginning, Teela throws a fit and makes it all about her. I mean, that's what happened. It was a perfect feminist rant.
That I will join you on that. But like I say, it was quite surprising that it was kind of mum and dad are in mourning because they just lost their son. They just found out the revelation that he's He-Man. And then Teela goes, yeah, but I feel really hurt. And it was
She's a very high up in the army, right? Yeah. I'm pretty sure she understands the need for keeping things close to the vest. Don't show all your cards, you know, a little bit of keeping secrets and stuff like that. And just standard military strategy. She was never that dumb in the show. And she was never that full of herself in the show. So she leaves and she gets the generic feminist haircut shaved on one side and hanging over. I swear to God, she did this. And I'm going, they're coming after you guys now. There's going to be some people. And there were people that are angry. And of course, in the talkbacks, I mean, most of the people in the talkback responding to this one were fine. But there's a few that come in and say, oh, you hate women, you racist. I'm like, do you think you're speaking truth to power? You are on the same side of Amazon, Netflix, ABC, NBC, CNN, Walmart, the Democrat Party, the Senate and the House and the presidency. I'm a guy here in Kansas. I'm the power because I ain't getting paid enough. What a bunch of horse shit. These drones, your corporate drones. Shut up. You got no minds of your own anymore. You just hear something about women or something, and you just go to the most easy, simpleton thinking I have ever seen in my life. You should be embarrassed. You should be embarrassed that that's as best as you could do. So that's my He-Man, the Masters of the Universe. But that was what it was all about. It was a big feminist rant designed to destroy what you loved about the property. And anything masculine about the property, which is what they did to Star Wars, which is what they're doing to Star Trek. And guys, Marvel. If you don't care about this particular property, trust me, they're coming after yours soon.
Yeah. I do agree. However, this is my take on it. It was, everybody kept referring to it as He-Man, which I kind of get. But at the same time, obviously the original He-Man, 83 He-Man, was about He-Man battling Skeletor, so. What Kevin did, I think, is it wasn't about He-Man, but I don't really think it was about Teela either. It was, how can I put this? He kind of did a Force Awakens from the fact that we were all looking forward to seeing Luke in The Force Awakens, and he only literally turns up in the last 5 minutes, because the story is about not just Rey and Finn and everybody else looking for Luke, but it's also about the First Order and everybody else looking for Luke. And so the story is kind of about Luke Skywalker, but it is based around people on that journey towards Luke. And I felt that with this, this kind of had the same thing, that the story was about the masters of the universe, particularly Skeletor and He-Man. But with He-Man gone, it was then following just Teela's story in trying to get He-Man back. In the same respect that you could say, probably knows or not, whatever, but Star Wars is based on The Hidden Fortress by Akira Kurosawa. Now, the original Hidden Fortress follows two slaves, and they are then... we follow their story as they go on this epic journey with a princess and a farm boy and a Dark Lord and everything else. And in the same respect, with Star Wars, you wouldn't say Star Wars is about R2-D2 and C-3PO, but ultimately they are the sort of main protagonists that, whose story we follow as the main route through the story. And so I thought, Teela's story, we're not following Teela's story, we are following Teela as she is trying to find He-Man, is the way I looked at it.
Yeah, but I mean, you're trying to compare it to two different things. So if you're comparing it to Star Wars, first of all, it wasn't the entire movie, and then Luke, and then Vader and Luke and Han and everybody shows up in the last 5 minutes, and the rest of the story was about the droids. The droids were kind of within the first 20 minutes, made it to the protagonist, and then it switched. And second of all, if you say, yeah, it's like Last Jedi, well, how will the Last Jedi work out? Not well.
Yeah.
Nobody liked it. And thirdly, Teela was bitching and moaning throughout the entire thing. Do you remember on the boat when she and Evil Lyn are talking about how they don't need no man anymore? That's basically what they were doing, talking about their ex-boyfriends and bitching about how they kept them down and how they were always playing second fiddle. It was excruciating to watch.
This is true, because then, I mean, going along with what I said, I mean, I did feel all the way through that we're following Teela's story, but at the same time, it was kind of like Teela was just trying to get the man back in her life. And so you take He-Man out
with her lesbian lover.
What I mean is that it's still sort of He-Man's show, and it was all still about him. But I did feel that it was kind of like this feminist fighting, but she's fighting just to get the man back, who is actually the real protector and the real so and so.
If you really want to do a show about Teela, you could have called it Teela. Okay, do you think Kevin Smith? Part of the reason why everybody is all pissed about this is because Clownfish TV came out and they said that they had an insider that said this is really Teela's show. It's not about He-Man. And Kevin Smith came out and vehemently denied it and says, no, it's not Teela's show. It's all about He-Man. Then you watch the show and it's fuck yes, it's Teela's show.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, there is the focus on all the stupid SJW nonsense. But then there's also, even if none of that was in there, even if none of the SJW stuff was in there and you liked the show and you generally liked it, there would still be the problem where I think a lot of people would say, you did a bait and switch, Mr. Smith. You lied to us and said it was one thing and it was another. And you're continuing to blame us for what you did. I can see that in a lot of the vicious talk against Masters of the Universe. And I think that's important. It's like you can't like the trailer showed nothing but He-Man and Skeletor fighting. The trailer was nothing but the first episode. I'm sorry. There's a difference between kind of keeping things close to the vest or not wanting to spoil stuff and completely misrepresenting your property. And I think he misrepresented the property.
Yeah, I do see where you're coming from with that, because I think what the fans were expecting, like I say, a lot of the fans, like on Twitter and everywhere else, was kept calling it He-Man. And like I said, it was called Masters of the Universe. Now, like I can understand that the fans wanted to see He-Man battling Skeletor and everything else, but then opening up some of the sub-characters, particularly Teela, obviously, it still was about the Masters of the Universe and in the fact that they had to get this sword repaired and blah, 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 and everything else to get Adam back and everything. And so, like I say, it's just, I didn't feel it was completely centric on Teela. I didn't feel there was much of a character arc to her. You know, she literally started as a whiny little girl and ended up as a whiny little girl.
Well, you can't make anything out of somebody so vacuous. I mean, you know, I'm sorry. And I don't think she was really that way in the original properties or in the comics or things like that. They just ruined her, too. You know, that's a stupid thing. And trying to make her look strong and everything, they make her look weak. That's the dumb part. They don't even understand what they're putting out there.
Trey, let's ask Dom, because I know he watched all of it, didn't you, Dom?
Tom's no. Like, Tom's faced out on his keyboard by now.
Number one, what are you expecting? And why would you expect otherwise?
Well, I wasn't expecting this anything different.
It's mainstream popular entertainment. They've made it pretty obvious. And the studios who are dependent completely on social media, Twitter in particular, who more or less, I guess, have convinced themselves, maybe some kind of Stockholm syndrome, that Twitter is real life. It is not. Okay, the number of people who actually use Twitter is a frighteningly small fraction of the population. But they play to it. They say they play to it. They are dependent upon it. And that world only tracks one way. Why would you think that anybody who would... He-Man is this obscure cartoon toy thing from the early 80s that nobody really remembers.
No, I don't disagree.
They did it to Star Trek. They did it to Star Wars. They do it to whatever else. When Fast and the Furious is rebooted in a couple of years, expect it. He-Man, it's a no-brainer. I tuned in. I made it farther in Masters of the Universe than I did in the last Zack Snyder film. So take it for what it's worth. I guess that's a compliment. But
it
starts immediately and you're like, well, okay.
Well, when you say, what did I expect? I didn't expect it. I didn't expect it to be any
better
than it was. I was fully prepared for this bullshit. But that doesn't mean I can't be a little angry that constantly just keep tearing down our culture. They just keep destroying our culture. And we're supposed to just take it like it's just, yeah, this is normal. This is not normal. This is not what made it popular. All you idiots in Hollywood, especially you leftist idiots, all you know how to do is destroy. You have make nothing inspirational. You make nothing that makes you want to be more than you are. And that was what was so great about so many of our properties. And they don't do that anymore. They don't give a fuck. They're destroying it. And this is on purpose.
People together when you're busy balkanizing everything. Anything and everything and everyone is now balkanized. You know, yeah. That term balkanization, that's where we are. There's no attempt to bring anybody together anymore. What does it matter? I mean,
they talk
we've reached
about
the point
it
now
some,
where we have nothing in common.
They talk about it somewhere where they said we want to balkanize a lot of the culture. And I'm like, You're gonna compare yourselves to the genocidal maniacs down in Serbia, you idiots. What's wrong with you? I mean, this is where they're at. And guys, if you're going, oh, it's just He-Man, oh, it's just Star Wars, oh, it's just Star Trek. Yeah, individually, these things aren't much, but it's just the grains of sand keep piling up. And sooner or later, they're gonna come after something you love. And it'll be even worse, you know, because by the time they get to Dexter's laboratory, it'll be Dexter's Pedophilia Emporium. And that will be a good thing.
Adrenochrome factories.
Exactly. And you're supposed to like it. It's just like you loved back when you were a kid.
I agree with that, by the way. I'm just saying some of this is, I mean, I guess we at this point just tune in to see it, to have that need for some kind of, I don't know, outrage, or but just as, oh, we're doing it again. We have to tune in to have that sort of anger recharged, which I find actually kind of fascinating. But
saying about that, do you think the people who loved the original Thing from Another World felt this way about the Thing? because that was technically a remake.
Yeah, but objectively, the thing was good. I mean, objectively, I'm sorry. I think, well, first of all, I don't know how many fans there were of the original 50s that were really that into it. I don't.
But then that's what we're saying about He-Man.
No, I don't think we are.
Okay.
I don't think we are. Because, I mean, do you feel like they injected a bunch of politics into the thing from Another World? To John Carpenter's thing? Or was he just trying to make a scary, you don't know who's
who? Are people out there who, you know, the scene where they're all tied to the chair is actually about our oppressive society and how blah, 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 blah. But no, I mean, no.
There is now.
John Carpenter, yeah. John Carpenter didn't do that. Obviously, he didn't make it political. He just remade a movie.
Yeah, and the thing is that you don't have in the thing, the protagonists in the thing are not whiny little
self-absorbed
asshole. I mean, I'm sorry, it's
life
just
experience
not
pieces.
Well,
of
then,
shit.
But then again, there's no women in it.
Well, there you go.
I am sorry.
Disavow.
Somebody from Her Majesty's government will be by to see you shortly.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, there's just some guys with black shades in the door, just as I
guess. Yeah, this shit's illegal. This shit's illegal in the UK, you know. We can get away with it here. I'll come and get you.
For now.
I think the problem is that we live in a world where everybody has to be equal. Nobody can be subjected to be better than anybody else. You know, in even in schools now, they get a graduation for, moving from one year to the next, and everybody gets like a participation award. And it's kind of, no, do you know what? Some kids are really good at maths, and we should congratulate them for that. Whereas other kids may not be good at maths, but they're very good at art, and let's congratulate them for that. But everybody in this world seems to be, no, we're all equal, we're all level, we should all be getting the same congratulatory, you know, pat on the back with whatever happens.
It's a depressing sameness that they're trying to
equity.
Push on everybody to make everybody, you know, you remember the 50s sci-fi movies where everybody would come out, the aliens would come out, they'd all be dressed the same and they'd look basically exactly the same, mostly because they had one mold for the alien mask and they had one thing template for the costume, so it was cheap. But in some ways it's like, that is kind of the future we're looking at if these assholes continue on.
And there's no lifting anybody up. It's bringing you're bringing people down, and that goes back to that balkanization of everything. There's no, well, George just said it probably better than I would, so move on.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I think maybe we will get to a point where creativity will collapse in on itself. And if that
it's collapsed already.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it. There's nothing creative anymore. You can't be creative anymore because that's a chance. You take a chance. Oh, yeah, you can't do that. It's a combination of culture and money.
Yeah,
things are expensive.
True.
And, you know, when you think, well, when your sample size or your, when you think the pulse of the culture is something as god-awful as Twitter or Facebook, you're going to get what you get. And this is, and we're in the middle of it, and I don't think that's going away anytime soon. But I think original creativity, goodbye.
There's not much of it, that's for sure.
I don't know if you guys have
heard of, I know you've probably heard of The League of Gentlemen, but not the movie, but have you heard of The League of Gentlemen, the TV show?
Yes.
TV comedy show.
I did not know there
funny.
Was
funny.
It is, it's a very, very, very dark comedy,
yes.
Which deals with things like cannibalism and all sorts of stuff. It's worth seeing if you get the chance. But I know that the guys who created it, I've seen interviews with them, and they just sort of said they wrote what they found funny. Now, I mean, they grew up on movies like The Wicker Man and so forth, which had these twisted endings that, you know, you didn't expect. Because obviously most...
Not the bees!
But the majority of movies that we watch have to have this happy ending because, you know, audiences can't cope with a sad ending. And then something like The Wicker Man comes out and people go, oh, look, this is a nice one. Oh, look, Christopher Lee's in it. It must be great fun. And you're there at the end of it going, ah, some policeman will be along in a minute. He'll be fine. There'll be a helicopter.
Hey, even James Bond had the guts with Her Majesty's Secret Service to kill his wife at the end. I mean, there was some dark shit going on in the 70s. But they're some of the best movies that ever came out in the 70s.
This is true. But what I was saying was, with the League of Gentlemen, the TV series, all the comedy was very dark, but they wrote for themselves.
Right.
They didn't write for anybody else. They didn't write for a specific group. They didn't write for, you know, the 25 to 30-year-old males who live in flats or anything else like this. They just wrote what they found funny. And because of it, you had this incredible series, which if you get the chance to watch it, is really, really good. But like Don was saying, that we are getting now to the point where everybody is kind of, no, we have to write specifically for these people, and we can't offend these people, so we need to take these and these jokes out. And
yeah, it just corporatization of Hollywood. It's really rough, and I got a kick out of it when they finally when you know Skeletor came back at the end. She's like, "Why are you doing this?" He goes, "Look at my face. You think any woman would have me? So I have to take over the world." I'm like, "He's an incel. This is why. This is the best you can come up with."
Fuck that is you, a bit of a Kevin shame because it would mean pretty much what 90% of the men on the planet would be after world domination.
Yeah. It was so obvious. Everything that was the worst part about it. It wasn't just that they put all this stuff in there; it's that they made it so obvious. I mean, when she got her shaved hair, I was like, "Oh God, here we go," and it just kept getting worse. I mean, I'm sorry, George. I just couldn't. I couldn't see past all the obvious bullshit that they kept putting in there. And it was like, why one more property, as silly and inconsequential as He-Man really is. And I get that. And it's, again, this is not destroying my childhood or anything like that. I didn't have that much of a feelings on it. I write the reviews because that's my job. I got to write the reviews. But, I don't understand what. How many more people are going to be left that are actually going to watch any of this stuff? They keep cutting up. You know, whoever supported, maybe like all those people that kind of went, you know, it's just Star Wars. There's some good ideas in there. It's not that bad. You guys are getting too twitchy. Are now all pissed off about He-Man. So there's another audience gone. There's not going to be anybody left, Hollywood, to watch your bullshit. Do you understand that? There's going to be no money left.
The problem
that might be the idea.
I guess. Look, if you want to kill yourself, get a gun. Boom. Done. You don't have to drag us Netflix, down with you fuckers.
Isn't this a Netflix series? I don't even remember. I couldn't care any less anymore. Is. But this is the best part. This comes out. Netflix has to deal with this bullshit right after announcing they lost 500,000 subscribers and their value took a hit of couple billion dollars, whatever it was. It's like, way to really, they double down. This is the thing, they always double down. So this isn't even as bad as it's going to get. There's going to be something else after this, which I think will be exciting to watch. But they don't care. I think self-destruction probably is the name of the game.
But I mean, I don't think they think it's self-destruction. I really don't.
No,
I think they think that Twitter is like, I think you were right at the beginning. I think they think that Twitter is real, that the people, yeah, the tiny sliver of the population of Twitter, which is a tiny sliver of the population, even tinier sliver of the population of the world in large, think this way. They think that this is the entire world and how they think. And only us trailer park drooling idiots want, you know, who hate women and hate black people and hate gays because they live in the 50s and they don't understand, like, you know, you are obvious, you are clearly obvious, you're insulting because you're not putting it in there because we hate gays, it's because you think we do, and I am insulted by that. Go to fuck yourselves. I'm tired. I'm just so tired of the condescension.
We live in a world where it's the person who shouts the loudest who is correct. And that is, it's kind of, I watched the original Frankenstein the other day, I think it was 32. And you've got the bit where the father brings the daughter, where Frankenstein's thrown her in the water, or the monster's thrown her in the water. And he actually seems forgiving. But there was the police chief saying, no, this is the monster's doing, we've got to go and get the monster. And everybody is then riled up and they go and kill the monster. And we still live in that society where it's the person who shouts the loudest with the loudest opinion is the one who is generally right, and everybody just jumps on the bandwagon.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it. I mean, it's just it's mob mentality. I'm still just shaking my head at these people who think they're speaking truth to power. It's like you're on the same side as Nike, who have slave labor. Go fuck yourselves. You know, you don't. You're spray painting corporate messages like Black Lives Matter or the NFL is gay. You're spray painting that on. You think I've just stuck it to power. You're dancing. You're puppets. You're dancing their tunes, you drones. God.
So
aren't they rich enough?
Before Yoda busts a blood vessel in his forehead, I think what we should do is nicely segue into talkback. Because obviously you were hit quite hard in the talkback on the
last video site. But it wasn't that wasn't what I want to talk about specifically. There are some situations going on with Last Movie Outpost. So I'm going to speak for myself, not for Mac, not for you, not for GC, Gigantic Kahuna, or anybody else. There's some people who hate me. I don't know why. They've never actually reached out to me directly. Or
I have a list of why we hate you.
I know why you.
Can you forward that on to me?
But that's fine. If you know, there's difference of opinion. They think I'm terrible or something. You never had the guts to actually reach out to me. Then I've been told that, you know, because we have, we've had some pretty spicy stuff in our talkbacks, even in the main site, and some of it can be, most of it to me is trolling. Okay. And I've heard that they want to, like, you know, report us or something, maybe to our hosting company or whatever. I'm going to tell you something. You can't hurt me. I don't care what anybody says in the talkbacks. I am not your fucking parent. All right. If you don't like what you see in the talkbacks, talk to the guy at the talkbacks that said it. I'm never going to delete a post. Never. The only thing, when somebody puts a racist something in the talkback, what that tells me is, that's an easily identifiable moron. And now I don't have to worry about it anymore. You've made it very easy for me not to associate with you. But I'm not going to cut you out. I'll let everybody else should shame you. And if you delete the post yourself, that's far more powerful than me banning you. I'm not going to ban anybody. It doesn't work. I'm not Twitter. I'm not Facebook. They've been doing that. How has that worked out? It's all it's caused is tons of balkanization in this country, tons of division. We're at the point where we want to do a divorce. If a post gets deleted and talked back, it ain't going to be me. And if you get this site shut down, fine. I just have more time on my hands. But you can't hurt me. So, I mean, I'm not your parent, and I'm tired of people whining and complaining to the people that host the discuss that somebody said something they didn't like. If you don't like it, talk to the person that said it. Make them feel bad. But I'm not going to feel bad. I wasn't responsible for what that guy said, and I don't care. None of these words mean anything to me. They just don't. So you got a problem with it in the talkbacks, and you say something in the talkbacks. If something gets deleted, and I will never stop anybody else on this site who runs this site that said, I want to delete this post or whatever, I'm saying, fine, that's on you, but it will never come from me. I'm a big free speech advocate. Say whatever you want and make yourself look as stupid as you want. I don't care. We all do it. So that's my little rant here, George. I'm not going to be told that we don't like what other people said in the talkback, so we're going to try to hurt you, because you really don't care what the other guy said in the talkback. So you're just mad at me for some reason. So, you know, you don't have the guts to do it. You're a weasel, and I don't have any time for it.
I do think you are making an excellent point that, you know, we are not responsible for the talkback. We are responsible for the articles that we write, and we do monitor them and so forth. But then the talkback, if somebody does want to come on and troll, then, you know, that so be it. But like you said, I think it makes a good point that you can generally spot who the trolls are. I read a tweet. I'm going to read it again here earlier. Now, as you know, if you read the site, I didn't like Fear Street. I thought it was not particularly well written, massive plot holes throughout the whole thing. It was mildly enjoyable and fairly original in a rip-off type of way. It was nice to see something sort of a little bit new and the way it did tie up. But I pointed out in the second one that one of the main characters tells the story of what happens in back in 1978. So I pointed out and I said that I thought it was weird that she told the story when she wasn't present at most of the events. So about 80% of the film to me was made up. Because if you're telling a story, you know, I could tell a story of what Yoda did today, but I wasn't present. So it would be made up with whatever I said. So I pointed this out. And when you're making a Hollywood movie, a Netflix movie, you should understand that. It's a basic principle. So I pointed this out. I had somebody say to me, I almost had a stroke reading your tweet. It makes no sense. You clearly lack the intelligence or ability to follow the storyline. You claim to be into films, but what you're saying shows a true lack of understanding of movies, acting, and screenplay. Now,
welcome to the suck.
But what got me about this was I took none of that seriously, because if he had sat there and said, she told the story, but however, X, Y, and Z explained it, that would have put me to ease and said, you know what, yeah, hands up, I didn't realize that I've made a mistake and I'm wrong about that. But because he resorted to you're an idiot and you lack in intelligence, I just thought you're just having a go at me. You're not providing any details to what I've just said. You know, I think it was Benjamin Franklin said that if you show me problems and you don't show me a solution, you're a whiner. And that's exactly what it is. It's, they're not having a go at me. It's kind of that. Maybe it's their own frustration that the film didn't work out and the way they wanted. But I took it completely. As I said, I think I might actually make it my banner headline on Twitter, because it's kind of the best review I've ever had. but it's ridiculous that people attacked me over a mild plot detail, which was still a plot detail, and I still have no idea how it's answered. And so I think some people are just, maybe they love something too much. I mean,
George, I gotta tell you, I had never heard of Fear Street until you did it. So the fact that you've got that one fan that is so vehement that's a deep cut, bud. You got somebody in a very deep basement who's really pissed off at his mom with the hair curlers or something.
No. See, I did do that with Army of the Dead. And I pointed out some plot details in the Army of the Dead, and I was hounded by the Schneider fans, who obviously realized that Zack Schneider is the most creative genius that's ever walked the earth.
Oh God! I mean, I'm sorry. Justice League Snyder Cut is improvement, okay? But you know, that's like saying water is improvement over piss. I mean, it's still not that big a deal.
I do like Zack, and I think when Zack has got a good storyline like Watchmen or 300, which he didn't write, then it's, you know, he does a great job. But when he writes himself, there are major plot details which aren't, you know, fantastic. In the nicest way. But again, I got attacked. But I, although that has got Jamie Chung in it, so it gets kind of a pass for me.
Wow. Okay.
I've watched worse for less. but with it is kind of, I think some people are just there to have a go at their own frustrations or whatever it might be. I didn't interact with this person because I do feel that one of the rules of life is, you know, if you want a happy life, don't argue with an idiot.
That's true. What I have a problem with is that the disingenuousness. When people say, I'm offended by what was in the talkbacks, I'm going to get you shut down. You don't give a fuck about the talkbacks, you liar.
Yeah.
You don't care. You just, and this isn't just us. I mean, this is all across the internet, right?
Yeah.
They don't care about that. They care about hurting somebody else because they don't have the guts to actually just work out a problem. And then, you know, people like, you know, Facebook and Twitter and everything, they're run by a bunch of cowards who just capitulate to this stuff. So you give the children and the whiners power. And I'm just like going, look, you can shut us down. I got plenty of shit I want to do. And if this doesn't work out, I got other things I could be doing. This takes up a lot of my time. And it's not just writing the articles. I mean, I I do all the technical work on the website. I do these streams. I try to do videos whenever I can. And I've got, you know, wife and kids and real life work I got to do. So, I mean, you know, you're just saving me my Sunday afternoons. Don't expect that I'm going to cry over something. I don't want it to go because I think there's a lot of people who enjoy this site. But, I mean, obviously, you don't care about anybody else. So, but, yeah.
Selfishness. What do you expect?
I don't expect much more.
It absolutely is. It's a quest for its power, its recognition, its accomplishment. All those things that we used to sort of strive for, that self-realization, actually making something of yourself. We have generations, at least two generations now, of people being brought up, not accomplishing much of anything, not doing anything for themselves, not even learning how to do things for themselves because their parents or whoever just, you know, helicoptered instead and did everything for them. And now the realization is I have amounted to nothing. I'm 20 plus years old. I'm 30 plus years old. I haven't made anything of myself. Not that we all strive to be vice president of a Fortune 500 company like you see in movies, but we have things that we accomplish, you know, exactly. You get married, you have kids, you have jobs, you have these things that as a culture, as a society, we put great importance on that this is, you know, how things go more or less. And because they've failed to reach it, they're subconsciously completely aware that they have accomplished nothing and they're very angry about it, which I would be angry too, I suppose. But this is like the fulfillment of a couple of decades worth of really, really, really bad parenting and probably an even worse popular culture.
I think, just to tag on to that, Dom, you say about the popular culture, I do agree with everything you said, but we live in a society now where YouTubers are making millions and are becoming rich and famous because they do each other's makeup, or they've cut their nails, or they've changed their socks, or whatever it is. I don't watch any of those people. But we live in a society where that kind of thing happens. And I've got a 12-year-old niece. She wants to grow up to be a YouTuber. And so, you know, I don't think she's probably giving as much to her education as she should be. I don't know. I'm not a helicopter parent, or, you know, I'm saying I'm just an uncle. But again, she's thinking that she's just going to get on YouTube and she's going to do a makeup channel and she's going to get rich and famous from it. And unfortunately, we live in a world where, yeah, one or two people will do that, but the rest of us are not going to. And it is kind of, somebody's just put the comment about putting on a tinfoil hat. Yeah. No, I do think that we live in a society where everything is, this modern generation expects to get something for nothing. And it's not the case. Everybody has to work for where they are and what they've got.
Well, I think that's true, George, but well, you say she's not putting enough in her education. Her education, I would say, run from the damn schools because they ain't teaching her anything but this kind of hate and garbage. And, you know, I mean, I'm kind of like, look, guys, I give my Twitter out everywhere. You want to DM me, go ahead. We have the emails. We have, I'm Drunken Yoda at lastmovieoutpost.com. You got a problem with me, go ahead and talk to me. But nobody has. Nobody actually has. They just take pot shots. So, I guess. And that's the point, Dom. It's like, what the cowardice that we've raised I think part of it. Do you guys ever watch any Tim Pool? Or do you know about him?
I still do.
And one of the things he talked about was how the tech companies have driven most of the left insane and like clinically, like brain damaged them. And a big part of that is because they do these algorithms where they say, okay, and this is what started in 2010, 2011. And you'll notice that all this woke stuff really started about that time where they say, we're going to do an article about cookies, and somebody clicks on the article. And so then the algorithm will give you more articles about cookies. And you say, okay, well, then I'm going to do an article about police brutality. And it gets way more clicks because rage drives clicks. And then they'll do one with racism and intersectionality crossed with police brutality, right? And that's instead of X plus Y viewers, you get X times Y viewers. And so the getting the clicks by driving the rage and expanding and exaggerating things that just aren't true. But whether it's racism or sexism or, you know, LGBT hatred or any of this stuff, they are the reason, in my opinion, why Minneapolis and everything else burned down. And they're the reason why I see nothing but, not nothing but, we got some really good talkbackers on our site, and not all of them agree with me. Some of them are, but they're articulate in their criticisms of why they thought I was wrong. I got some flack on the Loki stuff. I mean, I'm up against Midnight's Edge and Nerdrotic and a couple of others who say Marvel ruined Loki too and made him into it. I'm like, it's freaking Loki. I mean, I'm not really surprised that he would be bi. I don't see anything they did in that show that is really that woke or anything. And I defended it. I mean, you know, if I'm just going to react because Disney bad, I'm no better than they are. And that's what I don't want to do. I don't want to just sit here and go, Disney bad, Netflix bad, everybody bad. Yeah, I was irritated. I said, cancel your Netflix. But Netflix has got a lot more to answer for. Cuties being at the top of the list. But I mean, for Disney, it's like, okay, yeah, they ruined Star Wars, but they also made The Mandalorian, which is actually very good. And I'm really enjoying The Bad Batch. I haven't wrote a review on it, but I think it's been pretty good because Filoni's writing that stuff. So, I mean, it's too easy to just go everything bad that isn't me, because that's what they do. And I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to try to take everything as it comes. And
just
so
just to come back to a point, Yoda, sorry to interrupt. I do think, I think I said it earlier somewhere, that what I do like about the site is that the people that are on there, I've disagreed with people about my views of things. And obviously that's going to happen, you know, with whatever, however you're raised, whatever you watch when you were a kid, like, it's going to affect what you do and don't like in movies. And I've disagreed with a few people in the talkbacks, but I've always felt that I've left the conversation with mutual respect.
Yeah, I've always, that's fine. Always respected. I got no problems with that.
And like you say, constructive criticism or critiquing, you know, what you said in a way that actually provides kind of a solution or an explanation or something. Like I say with the guy with me, you know, there was no explanation to the what I'd said. But if he had to come back and said, this happened because of so-and-so, that would have changed my viewpoint. But I have to say, this is an awful thing, but he's an idiot. You know, he's not there. He's just defending himself in a really poor way. And I think people can see that on the talkback, that when a troll does come in and tries to overstep their bounds and moan about the site and blah, 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 and everything else, they're just a troll. You know,
well, I mean, to me, it's like now they're easily identifiable. I stand by what I said. If I ban them, all they're going to do is wander off and be pissed and do the same thing somewhere else. If I leave it up there and everybody else dogpiles him and tells him what an idiot he is, and you actually get, because I've seen where it says post deleted, where the person deleted his own post.
Yeah.
I'm like, you've actually changed a mind at that point, or at least made him think maybe I went too far. You've actually done something that might change something in this world that would be better. But just banning him? Well, just going to wander off in some darker hole with a bunch of people that are even worse than he is.
Yeah.
Banning is lame. Banning is lame. Modding talkbacks is ridiculous. Free speech is free or it's not. And you're going to have to take what you like. What you like comes with what you don't like. And sometimes there's a lot more of what you don't like than what you do like. But it's either free speech or it's not.
That is part of life.
I've never seen anything, you know. And plus, if you find things offensive, number one, stop finding things offensive. But number two, ignore it.
Yeah.
Nothing is offensive. Nothing on earth is actually offensive. You can just ignore it.
You can only take offense. You can't give it.
I think it's absurd, but...
Ricky Gervais said, you got offended, but I find it funny. That's why I'm happier than you. You know, I mean, that kind of sums it up, really. Like I say, I don't understand how some people, you know, over here in the UK, if a program might come on and they say there is going to be contained graphic nudity, and then they write it to the BBC and complain because there was graphic nudity. And it's kind of, they told you at the beginning that was going to happen, so why did you then watch it and get offended? You know, nobody was forcing you to. Like you say, we live in a day where we've got, you know, over here, what, free channels, 120 odd free channels. If that's going to happen and you're offended by that, switch over. Simple as that.
Well, George, I'm sure you can remember, probably Dom too, back in the 80s and maybe even the 90s when the Christian groups were doing the same thing. And they weren't really that offended. They just wanted to exert their power.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah,
I didn't agree with it then, and I don't agree with it now just because you're with this new quirky, weird religion of the state called wokeness. It's still the same thing to me.
Yep. It's all the shoe's on the other foot. I do find that kind of interesting. But it's the same garbage. It was wrong then. It's wrong now. It'll be wrong tomorrow. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think it feels like the only emotion anybody has been able to really expand or come to grips with is the emotion of anger. Nobody's happy anymore. Nobody knows how to be happy anymore. Nobody really even knows how to be sad for that matter. We all know how to be angry though. Yeah. And I think it's just, it's an automaton kind of thing. It's back to those robots. It's, you are conditioned, you are raised, and you are allowed to have anger because you're not allowed to have happiness. Happiness is theft. You can't be sad, but you can be angry.
Speaking of wrong, why don't we talk about the Dune trailer, George?
It's like 5 minutes long. It's not bad. Pretty as hell to look at.
I did have somebody on Twitter say that this movie was going to be life-changing. And I quoted him. I quoted him and I said, you know, imagine being this hyped for a movie and everything else and whatnot. And again, I had quite a discussion with him and it was quite pleasant. You know, it was a good back and forth. And then when I actually saw the trailer, I quoted him and I said, I take back some of what I said. Not all of it. I don't think the movie's going to be life-changing, but when I saw it, I don't like to get hyped for movies. The sad story of that is I saw Phantom Menace 9 times in the cinema because I was so excited to see a new Star Wars movie, and it was the best thing that ever happened. And I was looking at it through rose-tinted glasses because it was bloody awful. I see that now.
Denial is a powerful thing.
I do try not to get hyped, but I must admit, when I watched this Dune trailer, there was a part of me that was going, this is going to be really good.
Well,
I'm excited that there's a Hollywood epic again, because epics have gone. It's trash, disposable entertainment, and this looks like a good old-fashioned Hollywood blockbuster epic, which we haven't had since the glory days of the 90s.
I am generally upbeat about it because I think Denis Villeneuve is awesome. I think he did wonders with Blade Runner. I love Sicario.
Yep.
I love the Arrival? Arrival, yeah. The one with the circle, the weird circle aliens.
I'm sure he'd be glad to hear his film described like that.
Yeah. If I was the wordsmith he was, I could actually make these movies, you know? Instead, I just sit here in the background going, you suck! I think his work is fantastic. And I was a little concerned when I watched the trailer because the jokey bits stood out like a sore thumb to me. They didn't feel like they belonged at all. They felt like they were trying to Marvelize it a little bit or something. I don't know. And again, I'll reserve judgment to the entire movie, but Dune to me is kind of this ultra serious property. And part of that is because is it David Lynch that did that film?
Yeah.
The first one, which I can't get through. It's a god awful mess. But I appreciate
fascinating,
but yeah, it's kind of boring to be honest with you. It's hard to, it's a slog.
Uh-huh.
But I understand that they're huge fans of Herbert's novels. I've never read them myself. I'm interested to see what he comes up with. But when I saw some of the jokey bits, like, oh, you look like you're putting on a little muscle. Really? No. I'm like, oh, God, that was painful.
I didn't even really notice that.
Well, you say jokey bits. Where were the other bits? Because I noticed that joke. I didn't.
Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of. I only saw the trailer once or twice. I thought there was one more moment in there, but it was.
I quite liked that because, I mean, I know people rag on Timothy Chalamet, however you want to say his name. He does look wimpy. And I know in the books, I've not read the books, but I have friends who have told me all about them and stuff. And he becomes one of the sort of most powerful beings in the universe, you know, and everything else later on in the books and so forth. And so to look at him, he doesn't look like that. And I thought that...
well, neither did Kyle MacLachlan.
I do feel Kyle MacLachlan has got more of a presence about him. And I hope...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll give you that.
You know, but I can't remember who it was. Jason Momoa talking to him. Was it Duncan? I think he's playing.
Yeah.
He makes this joke. I don't think he was making a joke. I think he was just sort of, you know, have you been working out? And I kind of understand what you're saying, but I didn't see it as a joke. I saw it as a, you know, you're still a wimp type of thing. Where the character is going to go.
There are times where I've watched something in a trailer out of context, you know, they'll put something in there and then you actually watch the movie and you realize the context and it's not nearly as bad as you, or as good sometimes as you think it is. So I'm like I said, I'm not trying to judge the whole movie based on one throwaway line, but I'm judging the movie based on one throwaway line.
Again,
which you can do these days.
Apparently so.
The original movie, again, like I say, I've never read the books, but I liked the original movie and I watched it again within the last 12 months. And to me, the only thing it suffers with is Sting, obviously, but also the
Sting.
Just the special effects, because I think Lynch tried to do, like Dom said, an epic. And there are moments where it feels quite epic, you know, with the worms and so forth. And, you know, it feels incredibly dramatic, but it is limited by the technology it had in the day. Where I hope Villeneuve really expands on that and gives us this whole new universe that we can go on. Because, like I said, I know the books do go on and the story does actually get quite interesting.
Now, do you guys know, I don't know much about the book. Is it just the one book? Is there a series of books?
It's a series of books. It's a series of books, and if I'm not mistaken, it covers something like 1,000 or 10,000 years.
And is Dune just one of those books, or is it the Dune and there's a different... I just don't know.
I'm under the impression that Dune is the first one.
Okay.
Something like that, yeah, and it there's like Children of Dune and then it moves on. I don't think it's like Dune this and Dune that, but I think it is a continuing series and it covers a very long expanse of time.
Sandcastles of Dune.
Something.
Okay.
Like
that. So, I mean, I don't know how much of it is like Game of Thrones where it's just so tied together and it's just this big long epic story, or if it's more like Narnia, you know, like each story is kind of a continuation, but they're really their own separate little stories.
As far as I understand it, I got told by a friend a while ago, because he absolutely loves the books, and he says that Paul Atreides does become, is it the Quisrak Hadarach, or whatever the expression is for it, but he becomes one of the most powerful beings in the universe, and I can't remember exactly. I need to contact him and have a... Well, I kind of want to contact him, but at the same time, I want to go into Dune, and hopefully it's... The thing I love the most is going into a film and not knowing anything about it. So I generally stay away from trailers. So I don't have, like you say, you know, one throwaway line, which is kind of spoiling for you. Whereas I've watched films and I've known nothing about them. I watched recently The Empty Man because I'd heard people talking about it. And it was great. I knew nothing about it, but it was great because it was a story that was, you know, it wasn't, I wasn't expecting this and I wasn't expecting a twist and all this kind of thing. And so you can enjoy it. And I think with the Dune books, they do go on to quite an epic story. And I do think they follow Paul through at least the first two or three, maybe, I think. But then again, we're coming back to now, like we were saying earlier, and what a lot of people are fearing is how well will it do in the box office? Because if it doesn't do well, then we won't get a sequel.
Now, this isn't coming out on streaming at the same time. This is one of those movie-only things, right?
I believe so.
I'm just going to look it up because I can't remember. I think I read it might be coming out on HBO at the same time.
That's probably just the way things are now.
If it's a Warner, it's coming out on HBO because they've basically committed. They're putting everything out on streaming, and I'm fine with it.
Well, the thing is funny enough. I mean, I haven't been back to the cinema since the pandemic started. I think I saw Tenet when it came out. But Dune is one of those movies that I am happy to give my hard-earned money to see on the big screen because it's going to be one of those epic things, you know? Like I say, the new Amy Schumer, I can watch on a phone because obviously, you know...
While it's in your back pocket.
Actually, I shouldn't have admitted to that. But I mean,
why else would you watch a baby Schumer? Just like her face is on my ass. That's close enough.
But I mean, with a lot of films, I'm quite happy to watch them at home. But June, I am looking forward to getting back into the cinema and experiencing, you know, that epicness of it on the silver screen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm. Help me understand, because I don't have this huge affinity towards Dune. I never read the books. And as I remember when the original came out in 84, so I would have been 14. But I never went and saw it. I saw it on HBO later. And I just remember just being like, boy, this looks cool, but it is terrible. And I feel like it's the definition of a noble failure to me. So I guess my question is, do you have a lot of affinity towards Dune in general, or are you just looking forward to this one in particular?
I mean, for me, with any movie, it's got to be about the story. Don't care about all the special effects, the actors, the directors, or anything else. One of my favorite films is Blue Ruin, which is a very low budget movie, revenge movie, but it's so compelling and the story is so well told. And any movie that tells a story well, I'm happy. And I think, like I say, with the Dune, I appreciate if you haven't sort of sat down and watched it, the original Dune, I'm happy to watch. It's 2 hours and 20 odd minutes, but there is a story which is fantastic all the way through, and the characters all interplay with each other, and there are good, bad guys. The Baron as the Harkonnen, I'm really looking forward to seeing what's his name, Stellan Skarsgård, is that, because the original Baron was this filthy, pit-ridden...
Yeah, I remember.
And all the characters in it, and the story is really, really well done. And so I'm looking forward, and as we said, Denis Villeneuve tells an amazing story. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. I wouldn't say I'm a massive Dune fan. I am just... you know, a story lover fan. And that's what I'm looking at. That's the thing. That's the main thing for me. That's what I'm looking forward to.
That's fair enough. I'm looking forward to it because it's Denis Villeneuve. Denis Villeneuve.
Danny V.
Yeah,
Danny V. I would like to know Dune better than that movie. And I don't have time to read original anymore. So. What about you, Dom? Are you looking forward to it?
I am. I like good old-fashioned classic Hollywood blockbusters. So I'm excited for that. Danny V is a good, interesting filmmaker. So that's certainly compelling. And what little I know of Dune has me interested at the possibility of what it could be. And if it's a success, what could come after it, I think, is just fantastic. To have a new big sweeping series like that, I think, is compelling, especially when you see that all the other ones have been so thoroughly destroyed the way they have, where nobody looks forward to them anymore. I think that's great. And the movie looks big. And like I've said probably 4 or 5 times now, it struck me as this classic Hollywood epic blockbuster. And I think that's worth that. I'll go to a movie theater. I got no problem going to a movie theater. I just don't have time to. But this is one where I'm going to set aside time and maybe figure out a way to go do it. Because it looks like that old-fashioned experience.
Yeah.
Which you don't get anymore.
No, so I think we're all agreed. We all want to see it. We're all looking forward to it. I'm probably the most skeptical because I don't have any emotional ties maybe to it.
Yeah.
But
I'm trying not to get excited for it, but I, like I say, after that trailer, I did find myself going, ooh, you know, and just sort of,
it looks great. I'll give them that. It looks great.
isn't that even interesting or sort of relieving, though, Yoda, that you have, here's something big and huge, you know, epic, whatever you want to call it, but you have actually no emotional tie to it whatsoever. So if you don't like it, you just don't like it. Yeah. And if you like it, I mean, you like it, but nothing where it's like you're just sitting there waiting for that inevitable, like with Star Wars, where it's just like, you're going to fuck it up. I'm invested in this, and holy God, what have you done to this thing? You don't have that this time. Like, you get to go in fresh.
That's true. Just, hey, and at least
I'm here to maybe like a movie.
Well, and at least it doesn't have the Marvel logo on it. So I'm, because that appears to be the only thing that goes in the movie theaters anymore, something with the Marvel logo on it. They have like six movies coming out in the next year.
10 years ago.
Between the COVID and just their insane release schedule, they got like six movies starting with Black Widow. I think there's Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Pizzas. And
it's a shame it started with Black Widow.
Yeah, that wasn't good, was it?
It was average at best. I kept saying it wasn't the film that Black Widow deserved. I didn't think.
It. You know what the problem, what I had with it is, I felt like there were two movies going on. There was the movie that I found interesting, that had like that plane chase at the beginning, and the trying to delve into her old family and how that affected her. And then you had the Black Widow movie where they're falling out of the magic space
castle hidden by clouds.
Yeah, running along solar panels, and she'll fall from a six-story building like a pachinko machine, and she's fine. You know, it's you gotta pick one, you know? And they didn't. Every time something really crazy or fantastic would happen, I can almost see the suits going, more shit on the screen, more.
I have lost complete interest in them. Not that I've ever had any interest in it. We've done shows on it before. My lack of giving a crap about any of it, but this looks like the ultimate in assembly line movie production, and that is the least interesting thing imaginable. It takes me out of it completely, because it is literally just taking a little plug and play. Then you move it along and they add their bit, and then you move it along and they add their bit, and it's
I'll give them.
There's nothing interesting. It's fascinating that they've managed to do it. I will grant you that.
I will say the technical aspect,
but it is boring shit.
I will say, in connection with that, with Dom, I still think that what Fiage did between Iron Man and Endgame, with lots of different actors, lots of different movies, but connected those stories together, is a cinematic achievement which has never been. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it absolutely is. And it'll never be done again.
No, and I thoroughly enjoyed them, but I'm like you now, that it is just, we've finished Endgame. It was great. What you did over the 12 years was amazing. 23 movies, well done. But, like I say, I saw Black Widow, and it was just, even Loki was the same. I dragged myself through Loki, but I just wasn't massively bothered with it, because it was kind of it's done, it's over, not bothered. And the whole phase four now, again, I can just take it or leave it. You know, I'll probably watch them when they come out, but I just don't see me investing so much emotion into them like I did, you know, coming up to Endgame.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Because Endgame, what felt like a finality, you didn't. Mm-hmm. And I gotta give them credit. I mean, there is some real, if you dive into all of those movies as one big story, especially the Tony Stark, Captain America nucleus of it all and their arcs and everything, there's a lot going on there that they're able to do because they had so much runway to work with, 23 friggin' movies. But yeah, it's like, okay, now that's done and you're going to do the multiverse, which could be interesting, but you do feel like you're going to have to get yourself up for that, especially when you know that Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans and most of these people are just, you know, the core people that you really got invested in aren't going to be a part of this. And so now you got to really love Falcon. So I'm just not, you know, I mean, that Falcon Winter Soldier Boy, that was schizophrenic. Like, WandaVision was really interesting and a lot of fun until they shit the bed. Yeah. And then, but Falcon and Winter Soldier, it had like terrible preachy episode followed by an episode that, hey, they seem to be having a good message here. This is interesting. They could, and then it shit the bed again at the end. Loki, I thought was good. I thought it was fun, just fun sci-fi weirdness, and they just went with it. And that was good enough for me. I actually enjoyed Loki quite a bit. But yeah, the Black Widow movie was no good. So yeah, you're circling this back around to Dune. Dom, I do agree that yes, at least I don't have to go in with a bunch of preconceived notions of what it should be. I think mm-hmm. the Dune fans are going to go in there with a lot of those preconceived notions. But oh, yeah. It's like, hey guys, you already had it ruined with David Lynch's, so this can't be any worse.
I've heard a lot of people say that David Lynch's version didn't delve into the books as much as they should have. And so I'm interested to see if Villeneuve is going to do this. But then, I mean, I haven't seen what the runtime of the movie is, whether he is going to be able to have time to do that, you know, all in one go, or whether it is. To me, what I am kind of worried about is that it's just going to be kind of like a shot-for-shot remake, but with better special effects. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Dune again.
I don't think we're going to be dealing with that. I know the book Dune itself is a big book. And there's a lot going on, so I'm kind of curious to see what it is you have in it, what's going to be left out, because I heard the audiobooks a long time ago. There's a lot there is a ton going on in Dune, so I'm curious to see what makes the cut and what doesn't. And what's the runtime, like 3 hours or something like that?
It's funny enough, I'm just looking at it. Where are we?
3.5 hours, like a normal Michael Bay movie would be.
Are they going to have an animal cracker scene in Dune? Oh, I'm on board if they do.
So. Oh, God, I hope so.
I can't see the runtime on here. It doesn't say.
Hell, well, he may still be
shot in 2:35. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's going to be at least 3 hours. Has to be.
Well, Villeneuve.
Scratch the surface.
Denis V doesn't make short movies. So
No, thankfully not.
Blade Runner 2049. That 2049 means 2049 minutes of runtime,
and that's fine by me. So I bet you this is probably of all the people to make Dune a movie, this is the guy you want to take a crack at making Dune a movie.
Yeah. I can't think of any other modern directors that can do this.
No.
I don't either, and I really respect him, which is why I'm generally optimistic about it.
Yeah.
I guess just the joke in the trailer just rubbed me the wrong way for some reason. I was like, what the fuck?
You were busy reading talkbacks, and it hit you at the wrong moment.
Could be.
Could be. How did he know?
All right. Anything else we want to talk? Well, have you read the chats? Why don't you read the chats for us there, George? Can you see them?
Yeah. There's not much. People are worried about tin hats, signed T-shirts, and not hearing secret messages from the government with your tin hat on.
So usual.
You know, normal.
Yeah.
nothing out of the ordinary here. The usual array of crackpots and nutbags. I'm okay with that.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. It's like, say, you learn to who to show respect for and who not to. I think
they are still gabbing away on the talkbacks for the He-Man thing. What are we up to now? How many of these freaking?
You're gonna have to start another board for it soon.
I may have to. It's just insane. 199 comments.
How popular are you?
Wow.
At least Fisto is the number one comment now.
Yeah, it is. I love the comments that say, it's like, nobody cares about He-Man. Yeah, that's why there's 199 comments here.
There are movie websites that don't have 199 comments total, let alone in one article.
No, that may be my biggest one. So let me see if there's any under the live stream post itself.
I think it is one of those scenarios where like I say, everybody has got their own different opinions about things. Some people love He-Man and know all the lore, and other people, like, say me, I have a vague recollection of him, and it was more about the toys than it was about the stories. You know, when I first, the very first episode of this new one, I watched it, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that truck. You know, he used to go up and down in the wheels right. and stuff, you know, and like you say, you're looking at, you know, a giant toy commercial. But then, like I say, everybody is going to look at it differently. Sorry, we've got a rabid dog in here. Shut up, Cujo.
But that's so phenomenal. To have that marketplace of ideas is an amazing thing. I don't understand anybody's desire to alter it or change it. Don't you want people having separate ideas? Isn't that sort of the idea? One of the main ideas of being a human?
Why do you think we have churches? To shut down other ideas. You will obey and worship as we say.
Do as you're told, citizen 23416.
That's right.
Dot A.
That's right.
I'm 1984. That's a good documentary.
That's maybe a discussion for another time.
But
Walker Texas says those are AICN 2014 numbers, you studs. 200 comments. Yes, we're taking him down. He's going down.
I'll tell you what I didn't do this week was, because I was obviously just concentrating on the live stream, but I didn't do a quiz. But I do have a quiz planned, but that'll be for next Sunday, I think. Because I think they seem to be going down quite well. I'm getting a little miffed that people keep saying they're a bit too easy. Because I think some of the questions I put in, I think to myself, well, that's quite tricky. And then everybody's sort of going, oh, no, it's really easy. So I'm going to have to be putting in things like, you know, how far apart would George Clooney's nipples on the Batman poster.
Look, just go and find where Jeopardy gets its questions from and use that.
I must admit, doing the research for them is quite fun. And I think I keep double checking myself. Like, I put in a question a little while ago about how long was the note at the end of the Three Amigos song? They sing Three Amigos. Yeah.
Oh,
for
man.
For some strange reason, I knew that was 14 seconds.
Oh my God!
Is it that long?
Underrated movie, but holy crap!
But anyway, that's like I say, that's a talk for another time. But yes, we should. And that's how I do always appreciate the talkbacks of people when they do the quizzes and stuff. But nothing compared to your reviews, Yoda. I mean, just I can't wait to get started. As soon as I read one of your reviews.
Now, time to hate.
But like I say, you're going to get it. It's like, say, funny enough, that comment I read earlier from Fear Street, the comment I made about the hole in the plot was liked by about 20, 23, 24 people. And so obviously people agreed with me about it, but then there was just that one person that came back and said, oh, I nearly had a stroke reading your tweet. And like I say, you're always going to get people who are just going to be funny like that.
Yeah, if there's one thing the internet did was really put front and center how many nutballs there are out there. Some really twisted weirdos, you know. And it's
somebody said,
speaking as one of them, I, you know.
Somebody said, the internet got all the village idiots together and gave them a voice.
Yeah, it's called humanity.
All this information at your fingertips, and we spend most of our time watching, you know, cat videos and arguing with strangers.
Glad we're putting it to good use.
Yeah.
Very productive.
Excellent. Well, first of all, Dom, it was lovely to meet you because I've not met you in person, so thank you for joining us.
I'm Yoda, glad you got
always,
to.
Yoda, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
And I, like I say, I'd like to try and do some more of these in the future because I think it's good for everybody to listen to and it's good to have a chat. It's good to nerd out as well.
Well, I promised we would do these every Sunday night, and since I made that promise, I've not done one of them. So I apologize for that. Shit just got out of control. My James Bond, my last James Bond video I uploaded it 56 times, and it kept getting blocked, and I'd have to edit a piece out. And, of course, they don't tell you all the problem pieces that you need to do. They tell you one problem piece. So then you edit that out, you re-render it, you upload it, which is a 3-gig file that takes forever, And then it processes it, which is another 20 minutes, to tell you it's blocked. And you go through it, rinse and repeat. 56 times.
Next time you do it, put your tinfoil hat on before you upload it.
Fuckers, this is fair use. Kiss my ass.
Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. So sure. And it became a quest after a while. It's like, I'm going to get this. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to beat this. Just kept doing it. It was all last weekend and several days before until I finally got it up and running.
But in the end, it's 42 minutes of blank screen with no music.
we're going to do just slideshows next time. Just pictures.
You can't even do that. You're going to have to draw pictures.
Yeah. I'm going to act it out myself. And so then he did like this. And then he was like, whoa.
And project onto yourself, you know, gold finger and stuff.
And then the girl came out. She was like, hello, James.
To be fair, I would pay to see that.
Sadly, there are some people that would pay to see that. And you're sick. You're sick. You know who you are.
How is your OnlyFans going?
Not well. Well, Dom is really pretty much propping it up by himself. The OnlyFans page. That's it. Dom is my only fan.
Oh, yeah. I'm busting at the seams for that new content.
Yes, sadly.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, guys, for joining us. And like I say, we will have to do this again soon.
Yeah, we need to get this on a cadence of some sort.
It is, like I say, it's nice to... Not? I don't get to nerd out very often with people. And so it is lovely to do that because it's, you know, when you've got a passion for movies, it's nice to talk to other people with a passion for movies.
Yeah, that's why we do this.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah, boy.
Your wives won't let you go out to the bar anymore and just hang out with a bunch of people. And most of them wouldn't understand the shit you're talking about anyway. So,
oh, no. Speaking of which, very, very quickly, I have got my wife into The Mandalorian purely on Baby Yoda.
Gotta do it.
You know, apart from, I have to say this, we watched the first series and she really enjoyed it. And she said, oh, that was really good. It's much better than that Star Wars. You were doing so well, darling. You were there, and you're sleeping on the couch. Oh, that's such a shame.
You were this close, and get up.
I was so disappointed. You know, she sort of said, "Yeah, I've got her into Star Wars." No,
you got her into Baby Yoda. I had the same thing. You know, when I did my my Disney video, and they were throwing the stuff at me, the T-shirt, yes. I bought, and of course the lightsaber, but the Baby Yoda, that was all my wife. I did not buy Baby Yoda. I just want that on the record. Okay,
it's okay to like Baby Yoda, that's fine.
I love Baby Yoda. I just don't have a stuffed doll with no legs.
Well, you do, but it's under the bed.
It's
you do, but it's Professor X, so
That's a different kind of doll.
Okay. Right. So, yeah, like I say, thank you very much, gents. And like I say, we'll do this again. Thank you for the people that joined us to listen to our ramblings and anybody else who might watch this in the future and think, what the hell was that about? But until next time, we'll see you all again.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Is that it?
Are we dead?